very formal, Mr. Kelly. Right. Let's turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'd just like to say appreciate your prayers for Gail. She's very weak. She doesn't have much, a lot of strength. A number of days she is in her house coat all day and just sits on the couch and just pretty much sleeps. We really appreciate your prayers for her. They're going to be changing some of her medication, and hopefully that will make a difference. Her kidneys aren't functioning as a problem, and so we're trusting that somehow that she'll be able to gain strength and to be able to function. She's certainly not the same one that she's been in the past. Those of you who have known her are very active and very, very active. And this is a dramatic change, and a dramatic change for myself as well. So we really do appreciate your prayers. And certainly as Larry has gone through last year or so or longer, it's not easy, and we do appreciate your prayer and your support. Philippians chapter 2, and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I've been doing some reading, a bit of studying in Philippians, and I've appreciated these couple of verses here. Dan has brought this morning in Acts chapter 11 and rehearsing concerning Israel. Israel being in bondage for 400 years and had sojourned 430 years. And the Lord brought them into bondage, or he brought them out of bondage that he might bring them in to the promised land. He brought them out that he might bring them in. And, you know, that's such a clear picture of what the Lord does in the life of the believer. And I think we see this here as Paul is speaking here. He brings us out of the world, out of sin, the domination of sin, the rule of sin, the bondage of sin, and he brings us in to a life that is eternal, a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the old made over, but it's a brand new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he does the moment we're saved, that he brings us into a new life in Christ. John chapter 10 speaks of the Lord Jesus, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find green pastures. There's times when we need to come in to his sheepfold and to meet with him and to dwell with him, to spend time with him, and then to go out into green pastures, into the world about us, and to live as he has worked in us. We see in verse 12, I would just like for us to highlight on several things. they had always obeyed, not only while he was there, but in his absence, even much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'd like for us to look at that thought of working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We see that that Paul at this time is in prison, isn't he? He's in prison in Rome, but he's reminding them that while he was there, they always obeyed. That they always obeyed the word of God. That they were always heeding to the teaching of the word of God as Paul was there and ministered to them. They were eager to learn. They were very zealous for the Lord. They obeyed. Not in his presence only, but in his absence. And reminded that even though he isn't there, that they're continuing on in the things of the Lord. And he reminds them to work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. The word work here is not the thought of laboring for an attainment, to work for something, work your way to heaven, or to work for selfish gain. But the word work has the thought of one's own labor within themselves. Work out your own salvation. We're to be workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's work. It takes real work to see your salvation grow in the Lord. It takes real work. It's not easy. It takes struggles. It takes difficulties at times. It takes real commitment to the Word of God, doesn't it? And standing by the Word of God. And it takes real labor to work out your own salvation. As the thought there of with diligence. The word salvation, of course, has referred to in Scripture in different ways. We're saved from the penalty of sin. The moment we're saved from the penalty, from the guilt of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ removes that guilt, that penalty that is against us, that debt that is against us in our life. He removes that, and he gives us salvation. The penalty is removed. The power of sin, the dominion of sin in our life, sin seeks to dominate. The battle between the flesh and the spirit is evident in the life of the believer. And the spirit lusteth against the flesh, and so on. The lust lusteth against the spirit. And it's the flesh that seeks to dominate against the Spirit, the work of God. And I think that's what Paul is referring to here, is the life that we live now, this presently, the power of sin that seeks to dominate. And then, of course, one day we're going to be saved from the very presence of sin. But it's the work out your own salvation, work out labor that sin would not dominate in your life, that the flesh would not dominate, that the evil forces of this world the enemies of the cross of Christ and so on would not dominate against the work of the Spirit of God that God is seeking to do in our lives. And I think Paul is reminding them that it takes real work to labor, to stick to the Word of God, and to stick to taking a stand against the power of sin and that seeks to dominate in our lives, the struggle that is there in the life of the believer with fear and trembling. These are interesting words that Paul uses here with fear and trembling. I remember in school, goes back a few years, there used to be a family in the town whose kids were forever seemed like causing havoc. It just seemed like if anyone would get in trouble, it would be someone of that family, one of the boys of that family. Of course, there wasn't too many families to begin with, but anyway, and so in school, they would, because they caused mischief, and in those times, the rod wasn't spared. And times we've seen the teacher take a boy up and up front in the class and use the yardstick. There was no talking, no nothing. He was due for a punishment. And you know what that did to us? That caused a little fear and trembling in us, right? Others that were there and saw and so on. It made us fear and tremble. And you know, it's true in, and even in our parents, if we disobey our parents, there ought to be a certain amount of fear and trembling of the discipline that the child would get. But it seems as though today that's no longer, that the discipline is such that there is no fear and no trembling instilled in the life of the child. And I think it's something that is, it's a very important thing, though difficult, but yet it builds character in the life of the child and appreciation and realizing that, you know, that there is a way in which one is to conduct themselves and before God. And if we learn that young, we'll learn to fear and tremble before God as we grow older, don't we? We need that as part of our life. And that's what Paul says, that that you need to do it in fear and in trembling, and realizing that it is God, this is serious, how we are to work out our salvation is very serious, and it needs to be coupled with fear and with trembling, and to realize that who God is, and to cause us to fear and to tremble before Him, realizing that we are nothing, but that He is everything. So it's important that we have this characteristic in our life, that as we seek to work out our own salvation in fear and in trembling before God. It's a very serious thing, and because it's God who is working in us. Reminding in Colossians 1, well, let's turn there. Colossians 1 and verse, I'm going to begin in verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you, the great mystery. The riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Dan was talking about Peter and the vision that he saw in that portion. He's reiterating what he had seen before God and in the trance and the sheep coming down and so on. God was showing to Peter that the gospel would no longer go just to the Jew, but the Gentiles as well. And the gospel would go to whosoever will, to the whole world, as well as to the Jewish people. And Peter had a very difficult time with that. Not so, Lord. And reminded Peter that it's his work, that it's God's work. I will build my church, as he spoke to Peter earlier. And that to the Gentiles, the glory of this mystery, that Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's his work. It's Christ in you and I that makes the difference. And there's no way we could work out our salvation with fear and trembling if it wasn't for the fact that Christ is in you and I, lives within us. Whom we preach, warning every man. There's a warning. The Word of God speaks of warnings. And there's a teaching, every man in all wisdom. And there's a presentation, every man perfect in Christ Jesus, complete in Christ Jesus. And it's the whole aspect of the working out of our salvation, the warnings, the teachings, and the presenting, that we might be mature before God, that we might grow in the things of Him. And it's God who worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Romans 8 tells us that we're be conformed to the image of His Son. And that's the whole purpose, that we might be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might grow in Him, that others might see more of Christ than of ourselves. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. But I think we see this as well in the relationship of a servant and master. Servant and master relationship in Ephesians chapter 6. We can learn a lot through the relationship of the servant and master. It's a very earthly story, and the fact of a master who has servants that work for him, and how the master is to serve, or the servant is to serve his master, and the master is to his relationship to the servant. In verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. And there's those words again, reminding the servants that you're to be obedient to them that are masters according to the flesh. And a servant is to be obedient. And we see that in the life of the Lord Jesus. As a servant, he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was a true servant. He was a true master. When he was with the disciples in the upper room, he said to them that ye say that I'm your master and Lord, and so I am. And he said, if I be your Lord and Master. And he reversed them. But he, from the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, though humble in nature and humbling in this world, he was a true Lord. He was a true Lord. And he was a true Master and to the disciples. The disciples saw them as him as their Master and as their Lord. But we see here that the servants were to be obedient with fear and trembling. And singleness of your heart as unto Christ. With one heart, with one desire to be obedient to our Master as unto Christ. Just as though Christ was their Master. Just as though Christ is our Master, we're serving Him. So we as servants ought to serve our Master, those in whom we labor for and serve in the workplace or in other situations. With singleness of your heart, not with a double heart, saying one thing and then talking differently about your Master in the next voice, but it's having a singleness of your heart, not with eye service as men pleasers, not just in front of the Master as a men pleaser, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And it has to be something from within. It has to be an attitude, an action from within to reveal the fact that the servant is serving his Master. He's, as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You know, we're all to be servants of Christ, aren't we? We're all to realize that we're His servants. That we're servants of Him. And we're serving Him. And we ought to be more diligent in our service. And as a servant, as we serve, because we're servants of His. The moment we're saved, we become servants of Christ. And if we truly serve Him, then we'll serve our earthly Master with the right attitude and in the proper way. Doing the will of God from the heart. Doing His will from the heart. And that's what Paul is saying, that concerning the fact that God wants us to, He's working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And it takes the will, doesn't it? It takes my will to surrender it to Him, that my will be what He wants it to be. And if my will is not in line with His, then I'll not serve my earthly Master as He wants me to. Neither will I serve Him as I ought. And I need to, we need to surrender our wills, that our will be in submission to Him. He wants us to will and to do. Doing the will of God from the heart. And that's the doing, isn't it? To do the will of God from the heart. To have a singleness of heart before God. And to do the will of God from the heart. How we need to surrender our will to Him, that we will be submissive in doing His will. With good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men. With good will doing service, doing the service whatever it is before the Lord, we're doing it for Him and not to men. We're doing because God's eye is upon us, and we're doing it because we serve Him, and He wants us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And He wants us to have a good will, with a good will, doing service. To have a good will within ourselves in doing His service. And as we see that if we're doing according to what we're doing according to the will of God, we'll have a good will within ourselves in doing our service for the Lord. Not unto me, not to be seen of men, but to be seen of God. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also in heaven, neither is there respecter of persons with him. God is no respecter of persons, is he? Whether he be bond or free, the same he will receive of the Lord. God is no respecter of persons. He sees us. He knows our will. And he knows our heart. And he knows our attitude and as to what we're doing, if we're truly doing it, and surrendering our will to Him that we might do according to what He would have us to do. Knowing that your Master also in heaven, we have a Master in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's our Master. We're His servants. And He's the one. Under His eye of scrutiny do we submit ourselves to Him in our will and in doing His good will. So the Lord wants to do a work within us in our will and in our action, in our doing before Him, because He's the Master and He is the one that sees. So I think we have a real picture here of what Paul is saying in Philippians, in seeing in the relationship of the servant and master relationship there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 7. We see another usage of that word, our fear and trembling. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 15. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, while he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling ye received him. Speaking there of Titus, one who Paul sent to minister, and he was received of the saints that were there. And they, as Paul wrote, encouraging the believers to take heed to the ministry of Titus, who was to come and to labor there in the church of Corinth. And he remembers the obedience of all. And we saw in Philippians there that Paul commended them for their obedience, even though he wasn't there, but he commended them for it. So it is, Paul reminds them again of their obedience, not to what Titus had to say, but obedience to the word of God and to the work of God there in Corinth. And how with fear and trembling ye received him. And they weren't, they didn't receive him with real open arms, but they were they were in fear and trembling as they had received him. And I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. And we ought not to just accept any man, but we need to be in fear and trembling and to test and to prove and so on. But I'm sure if Titus ministered amongst them, that they soon realized that he was truly a servant of the Lord. But he received them with fear and trembling. And they weren't all out for him, but a godly fear and godly trembling to realize that this work at Corinth is God's work and that he simply was a servant of the Lord. A will to do. John chapter 7, verse 17. In verse 16, I'll start. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh the glory that sent him, the same is true, and all righteousness is in him." It's important in our will, isn't it? How important before God our will is. If a man will do his will, it takes submission, doesn't it? It takes a giving up of ourselves, our own will, and that's not easy, is it? Because man has a strong will that came from Adam. And it's a will that seeks to dominate in our life day by day. Sometimes we're very dominating in our will, and we want to express our will without realizing the will of God is what we need to be considering in His will. Because His doctrine, the doctrine, he says, the Lord Jesus says, is not mine, but his that sent me. The Father, isn't it? He came to preach the doctrine of the Father. And it's his Father's doctrine. But he says, if we will to do his will, you will know of the doctrine, whether it is of God or whether I speak of myself. And if our will is in tune with His, then we'll know the truth of the doctrine. We'll know how to truly test the doctrine. And the Lord Jesus spake of the fact that He always sought to share the fact that he came to reveal the Father. He always spoke of that aspect, that he came to reveal the Father, and he revealed the doctrine of the Father. And he in any way didn't want to speak of himself, to exalt himself, but he wanted to exalt the Father, the doctrine of the Father. And it takes a committed will within us to seek to learn the doctrine, the teaching of the Word of God. And in our obedience to Him, as those of the believers in the several churches were obedient, and their will was committed to Him, that the Lord Jesus Christ, His work would continue on and go forth. It is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And I ask myself, how much does God work within me in my life? How much does He work within my life? How much can He do in my life to make a change for Him? What is there in my life that is hindering my will of being submitted to Him? And you know, it doesn't take much, does it? But there can be hindrances that can hold back our will from really committing ourselves to His will and to do of His good pleasure. It is God that worketh in you, and it can only be God's work to change you and I, can it? It's only His power and might that can change us. We can't change ourselves. We have a nature that is in contrast or in conflict against God, that seeks to want to dominate. And so it's only by the working of the Spirit of God and allowing Christ to dwell within us and to live within us can a change be brought for His glory. Work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And our time is gone, but if you look in John 15 of the fruit, he wants us to bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit for His glory. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word, and thank You for the thoughts that we can gather as we think of these scriptures, and they ought not to be our thoughts, though, and they ought to be Your thoughts, and we ought to come with fear and trembling and realize that this is Your word and Your doctrine, and to submit our wills and our desires to You, and that's what we need to do. It certainly is not our thoughts that count, but it's Your thoughts, it's Your ways. So pray that You'd help us, and help us to go forth and to serve You and seek to honor You. Give You thanks in Christ's name. Amen.